Oh, my God, the one and only, the hilarious, the amazing Shecky Green. That was from a benefit that he did for earthquake victims in Italy. He's here because I'm a victim of my prostate and a victim of everything else in the world, and I am thrilled to be in the neighborhood on this Saturday morning to be talking to a comedy legend. And that is not hyperbole, ladies and gentlemen. That is the honest to Hashem truth. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Shecky Green. Hello, Shecky.
Hello, Rabbi Saul.
Oh, it's good to hear you. How are you feeling? You're 83 years old, is this correct?
85, Saul, but I want to tell you something. I'll talk to your native tongue. You want to hear something? I was never interviewed on a conversation like this with a rabbi.
Really?
I was in temple, I didn't talk to the rabbi.
You're lucky. Oh, I've spoken to too many rabbis in my time. I'm one of the nicer ones, which is rather terrifying, you know? But I'm glad to hear that you are well. Are you taking care of yourself? Do you exercise? How do you stay in shape?
Wait a minute, let me see. I got the pill. I got the white one here. I got the blue one. I got two pinks. I got a yellow. Yes, I'm taking care of myself.
This is... It's a cocktail every morning and a cocktail every night. You just don't get the alcohol. I never understood this, but...
I'm never really ill, but every day I take a pill. The doctor said I gotta do it at this age. It's very plain to see. I just passed 83. I jumped to 85, but thank God I'm still alive. Listen, Saul.
Yes?
Can I talk to you? You had good records by Bobby Dylan just on, right?
This is correct. Robert Zimmerman, yes.
Bobby Dylan's real name is Robert Zimmerman. He's from Hibbing, Minnesota.
Correct.
He had to leave there because he couldn't ski. Jews don't ski. You never heard a Jew on top of a mountain go, "You look out below. Here comes Hyman Pinkus in the snow." You never hear that, you know?
Oh, but I'm in Colorado. I know this better than anybody. You can't even get me...
Two Swedes look at each other. Who was that? That was Herman to you. And then they jump off. But I got to tell you what, Bobby. I was working in the Fountain Blue Hotel in Miami Beach.
Uh-huh.
And I was doing talking about Bobby Zimmerman and talk about Bobby Dylan. And so I got a call from his cousin. And his cousin told me off. He says, "How dare you?" Because I was doing lay, lady, lay, lay across your big brass bed. Lay, lady, lay, lay. Because he's got wonderful songs. I never understood one of them. The man is probably one of the biggest singers in the world, but I never understood one of his songs.
Oh, that's...
But you played quite a few that I didn't understand.
Well, this is... Although Lay Lady Lay is pretty clear. I mean, I think we know what's going on in that song. If you don't, that's why you got married three times, let me tell you.
Later, I don't want to talk to you about that subject. Sal, are you into that?
Am I into laying? I'm a man. I'm Jewish. Of course I'm into laying. I don't get laying. But I'm into it. I like it.
Because you didn't see the bride on the honeymoon.
Well, you see through the little hole in the sheet. That, you know, you look through it. That's what the best you can do.
I thought my mother was a bad housekeeper. I never knew that.
But let me ask you a question. You were going to talk about England because of the wedding and the royal stuff. I'll be talking later. What did you want to say about England?
Well, I really wanted to finish up, Robert.
Oh, sorry.
Switch this over. I was going to talk to you as you came on. I was going to say, I just got back from England. I was over there, and I went to get to the wedding, but I didn't know you needed a ticket. And they not only a ticket, but I thought you had to be invited by the royal family. So what I did, I went to Buckingham Palace, and they said, "Who are you here to see?" And I said, "Mr. and Mrs. Buckingham." So I said, "This is not going to be like all the other marriages, because everybody thinks that the English is very cold people, but they're not. We're very, very, very warm."
Are you really?
I was going to do that type of thing for you, Sal, but you want to know something? You had Bobby Dylan. I said to myself, talk about Bobby Dylan. Now, you interrupted the Bobby Dylan, which was my punchline, and then you got me to the English. So now what you want to do?
Well, first of all, I apologize. I never want to take...
Straight man, Sal.
I never want to take a comedian off their role. When they're rolling, it's a terrible thing to knock a comedian off to the side. I thought you were done, but you weren't, and I apologize. But
I did a lot of rolling in Las Vegas.
You were a high roller.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. See that money going? Right, I lost all my money. money, and that's why I had to be funny in Las Vegas.
Now, there's truth in that, isn't there? You lost a ton on what, the ponies, you gambled. How much did you make and how much did you lose?
Bill, I want to tell you something. I went in there for a price, $1,500. I started $1,500, which was a big seller. The else, I'm going to talk to you in your native tongue. It's a tongue I bought from a native many, many years ago. Yes. And somewhere in Israel right now is a tongueless native. And get my tongue back. But anyway, Saul.
Yes.
Let me talk before you jump in again.
Fair enough. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
Las Vegas. I got to Las Vegas in 1953. The Elst? 1953. There was a small town. It was people walking around with boots, with saddles, with horses. And then from 1500, I got to 100,000. 100,000 I was making from the MGM and the Sands Hotel. But I was losing 160,000 every week. The Elst? These games are not for Jews.
No games are for Jews. Not even, not Pinochle, well, maybe Mahjong, but any other game, no. No.
There's such praying that goes on at the tables. You see guys were kissing their cross, another guy was talking to Moses, and I had a Muslim guy next to me playing. He put down a rug and got down on the rug and was praying. That was very interesting. And we all looked at him. While we looked at him, they took all the money off the table. Then there was got the Orientals that play this game. The Orientals are the most distinctive players that I've ever seen. Look at, they go, it's Japanese game. Now they take the cards, and when before they look at them, they take them and they bend them and they squeeze them, and when they finally turn them over, an 8 becomes a 7. They rubbed off a number. It's a wonderful thing, Las Vegas.
Oh, boy, and you talk about it so tastefully. Now, let me say, though, can I ask, did you ever actually come close to losing everything, or were you making so much money that even when you were blowing zillions of it, you still had a zillion in reserve?
No, I had a little reserve until I met Madoff, one of our wonderful Jewish people.
Did you really?
Bernie Madoff.
Yeah.
And, Bernie Madoff is now in jail, and guys are bringing him 4 cigarettes, so he'll make eight cigarettes out of it.
But you're not joking about it. I want to get clear that you really did invest with Bernard Madoff.
I invested with Bernie Madoff. I also invested with a guy that sold me a gold mine just recently. A gold mine.
Yes.
A man, a very wealthy man that sold me a gold mine.
And?
In Tonopah, Nevada.
Oh, that's not a joke. This is true. You're investing in a gold.
This is true. And I went to Tonopah, and you can't dig or anything for that. So I got the gold in the mountain, but I can't get it out.
Is that right? Well, you sell the mountain as real estate when real estate comes back.
Gold in those hills. That's why I'm taking pills. They're going to kill me. Wait and see. Sal, you had Vicki Lawrence on. I didn't want to talk about this, but I have to.
Okay.
Was she a nice lady?
Vicki Lawrence was a perfectly nice. I think Dave interviewed her rather than me. Dave had that particular honor. But you don't particularly. You have a problem with Vicki Lawrence. Please explain.
I don't like Vicki Lawrence. You know, Vicki Lawrence. I did the Carol Burnett show, and she was not a nice person.
In what way was she mean to you?
No, I don't want to even discuss it.
You just brought it up.
I want people to send me cards and letters and ask me what Vicki Lawrence said, and then I'll send them on to her. I want people to tell me they like her or they don't like her, and then I'll send them on to her.
Okay.
Because Carol Burnett was a doll. What's her name? Everybody on that show was magnificent, but she had an attitude.
Really? My goodness, because she was the youngest one there. She was always the one who felt like she shouldn't even be there because she was plucked out of a Carol Burnett lookalike contest. She always felt...
She won. That's how she happened to get
there.
But she was a big talent. I will say that she was very, very talented. But she was not... She was a very cold... This is a terrible word to use. Goy to me.
Oh.
Right, the three goys. But she was a... She and I would have never been married.
Okay. This is, well, that leaves, well, there were three, and that could leave some more there. But let me also ask other people, famous celebrity people, that have either been wonderful to you or that you wouldn't spit on if you saw them on the street.
G. Jackie Mason. I wouldn't expirate on him. I would never even work up a spit.
Everybody says that. Why? What is a jerk about him? Why?
Because Jackie Mason happens to be a guy. He's a cheap bastard. That I'll tell you another thing about Jackie Mason that you don't know. Jackie Mason is a nice bison. He's not a nice bison. He does. I don't think he likes people. I don't think he likes himself. I'll tell you the truth. He dyes his hair. He should dye his mouth.
Oh, wait.
No.
My goodness. Did he do anything personal to you, or was he just a jerk?
Yeah, I once did something for him, and he just, I like that him and Vicki Lawrence are doing act together.
They probably will at some point. Anybody else?
No, but other than that, can I tell you something?
Sure.
This business, show business, has the greatest people in the world in it. And it was a blessing in all those years. They've gone kind of fast. I didn't realize, you know, one day you wake up and you're 85.
Well, hopefully it's not tomorrow for me, but for you, yeah, it's happened, yeah. And
it gave me a cake with 85 candles. It took me a week to blow it off.
At this stage, it would take a week for you to blow out a cake with 4 candles. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. That was mean. Now I'll be on your list.
You're not on my list, but can I tell you, I'll never put the sun on my list.
You'll never put... I missed that. I'm sorry. What?
I says, I'll never put the sun. The soul is the sun.
Oh.
Soul is the sun. Soul.
Yes, I understand. Soul. I'm soul man.
That's why I didn't make any show business really big, because I had to explain the jokes after I did them.
Now, speaking, though, of also a celebrity that you might have liked, but had a sort of a bad time, people may not know that Elvis Presley had his first gig opening for, well, it may not have his first gig, but he opened for you in Las Vegas.
And his first Las Vegas gig, yeah.
Right, and it flopped. Did you have any interaction with the Elvis person?
Let me tell you, Elvis was one of the nicest, sweetest, greatest human beings I've ever known. I mean, later on, I didn't have that much contact with him, you know, but I have never met a nicer kid. And we became very, very, very close at the beginning. And the reason wasn't that I opened or I closed or anything else. They brought him in. He was a special added attraction on the show. He just had blue suede shoes and nothing but a hound dog. And they had a 75-foot cutout of him outside the hotel.
Wow.
You know? And my name was on his shoe, one of the blue suede shoes. But anyway, it was not his kind of audience at that time. He didn't dress right. He didn't have the right type of thing. But he was, I can't tell you how nice he was.
That's so good. See, I like hearing, as much as everybody likes hearing the dirt and the ugh, and I hate this person.
No,
it's also nice to hear happy things about nice people. I like that. Who else? Who else is really wonderful that you loved over the years?
I don't know. There's just so many.
Good.
You'd have to call me back early in the morning.
Okay.
But, I mean, there's so many wonderful people in this business. I mean, I can go on and on and on, you know.
Well, you were friends also with Frank Sinatra. So you hear...
Well, I was friends with Frank Sinatra. I worked with Frank. I did a picture with Frank. We have good and bad times with Frank, but everybody has good and bad times with Frank, and everybody had good and bad times with me when I was drinking. Mostly bad times.
How long were you under the bottle, as it were?
Well, I really had a depression situation. I don't want to go... I had the typical Jewish thing with the complexes and the depressions and the things with the family and, you know, dysfunctional family. We never even looked at each other. We recognized each other by our shoes. Blue shoes was my brother. Red shoes was my mother. You know, that's what we looked on. And
why was it like that? Was your father just...
I was a wonderful man, but my father taught me how to play the horses, and it's been a destruction for me. And my mother worked, and my mother was probably one of the great, great ladies of the world.
Ooh.
I used to think my mother was a terrible cook until I got out in the world and found out my mother was the best.
Well, that's very sweet, but I don't understand then if your father was, the ponies, and then your mother was wonderful, but then why was your family so estranged and strange?
That's the way it was. You know, it was the depression. I grew up during the depression. When you grow up, you know, all of a sudden you're having a nice thing, then you start to hear about can't pay the rent, can't pay the lights, can't pay the gas. You know, kids begin to worry about that. When you're 4 years old and you hear we can't pay anything, you know, and that carries through in your adult life until you get the right psychiatrist. So, Eddie, Miss
you're saying. You're funny.
Hey, Al, I got to tell you something. I got so many things to talk to you about. You got to call me back three other times. And especially from Colorado, which happens to be one of my favorite states in the whole world.
Oh, good. Well, you know the West, and you know this coast better than the East. How did you... Let's get to what people don't know. How you got your start. You got out of the military, and then what happened?
No, I did this when I was a kid in high school.
Oh!
And my brother Marv did all kinds of dialects, and my brother was 2 years older than I was, and I really emulated my brother. I copied my brother. I stole from my brother. And so I did the things that he did, only I went into showbiz, and he became a tile salesman.
All right.
But he could really sell tile with the different accents. He would sell tile. But...
Well, it's all tile and error, I guess.
Oh!
Damn it.
One for the rabbi.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Give one for the rabbi, Sal.
But you didn't go in that direction. You went in a totally different way.
Well, I was with a girl. I went with a girl in high school, and I loved this girl, and we got engaged after I got out of the service. I was 20 years old, and I started to go to Wright Junior College, and one day I says, you know what, we can't get married because I don't have a job. I don't know what I'm doing. So while I was going to school, somebody brought me up to a resort, and the guy gave me a job as a social director with Sammy Shore.
Oh, of course.
Sammy Shore is a comedian that's still in show business. And he's got a son by the name of Paulie Shore.
Right, of course.
Which also should be on Vicki Lawrence's list.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
what a putzeroony.
Now, wait, what did he do to... What did Paulie Shore do to you?
Existing. Enough. You understand?
Look, he's...
Just existing.
He's gotten enough sores from critics not liking his movies. I think he's...
Well, that's what I want of the critics.
All right, but Sammy Shore you like. Sammy Shore you got along with. You worked for him.
Well, Sammy and I were good friends. Sammy was a little hung up with me after a little bit of his... Goodbye, my wife. My wife is now leaving. She looks gorgeous.
Oh.
An Italian girl from Sicily.
Oh, well. Oh, my...
Arrivederci, Maria. Bafanala, tutta visire, mancore.
Okay. Where were we?
You're lucky that it's not my ex-wife because she was an Indian. That's a terrible song I would have had to sing. You didn't want to hear that.
I'll hear anything at this point. I don't even know where I am. I know where we are. We're talking for you. First start working with Sammy Shore at the club, and then what?
And then I quit. I went back to college, and then somebody offered me another job. And then I went. Finally, my big thing was New Orleans. I went to New Orleans actually for 2 weeks, and I was going to go back to school, but I ended up staying 3 years.
Oh.
And I ended up getting a piece of the club in New Orleans, right across from the Roosevelt Hotel. And Al Hurt was my orchestra leader. Pete Fountain was in the band, and that's the kind of musicians I had when I was there.
Wow, that's high class.
Back. Maria, Maria.
So many. Wow, that's what errand could she have possibly run in 34 seconds?
He wants to know, what errand did you run to get back in 34 seconds?
I forgot my invitation.
She forgot her invitation.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, now she can go where she's invited. This is important. Yeah. So, let me ask you about
I happen to have one of the great, 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 great wives of all time. Her father was Vito Musso, an internationally famous saxophone player.
Oh, my goodness. Is that how you met? Was he in your band and you met?
No. I used to go to their house all the time, and then she came. She was very young, and she came. And we were going to get married and the first time, and then she saw me drunk one night, and she left.
Oh.
And she met a guy, she got married, then I got married. And I called her after the first year, and I said, do me a favor, get me out of this marriage, I beg of you.
Wow. And she, well, did she, how did she get out of her marriage at the time?
Well, she eventually got out of her marriage, and when she got out of her marriage, I
did they ever find the gun? No, I kid.
What? Go ahead.
Did they ever find the gun? No, I'm kidding.
Wait, with her family, you could have had a gun. Are you kidding? You're from Sicily. They had guns, knives, they had everything. When you go there, you'd have a bowl of pasta and you had a weapon of choice.
Well, actually, it's a reasonable question to ask since you were in Vegas all that time. How much dealing did you have to do with people who were in, shall we say, the unsavory business that was in The Godfather?
Sal, I want to tell you something. This is the honest God truth. I was with all of those people who happened to be the nicest, such as Sam Giancana, who I didn't even know. I mean, I knew him personally, but I didn't even know was Sam the head of what he was ahead of. And I were extremely close. He was like a godfather to me.
Well, yes.
No, really. And without the cotton in his mouth. And Tom Jones, who had the cotton in his pants, but that's neither here nor there. And why should we go there when we're here?
I have cotton in my pants just because it's absorbent. But I don't want to go there. No, but you had no problems with...
What the hell is that they call the leaky? Well, forget about it. That goes on. You just get yourself a box of Depends and it's all over.
But you never saw the ugly side of the no killings, no any of that.
Well, I was with Gus Greenbaum a week before they killed him in Arizona, where, you know, Gus and I, one morning I came in a little loaded, and he says, come on, it was 10 o'clock in the morning as we're going to start it. And he went to gamble, and he took a pill. He was very sick. He took a pill that he had. You had to knock down your throat with a hammer. That's how big the pill was.
Yeah.
You know, and a gallon of water. And he was very sick, and then yet they still went over to Arizona and they killed him. They cut his throat, his wife's throat, and that was the kind of the kind of thing we lived in.
Well, did it ever occur to you, I mean, I'm sure you're glad that you didn't, but when stuff like that was happening, did you think, maybe I should be leaving Vegas? Maybe there's a more gentle way.
You know, I'm from Chicago. Now, my start in Chicago was the same thing, working for these people. And you want to know something? It seems okay for me to say now, most of them are gone. They were like a joke to me. They were like a movie. You know, I was waiting to hear,
you dirty rat, don't do that, don't do this. Now you get a call, you get right against that wall, and I'm going to let you have it. You know what I mean, you dirty rat? So I thought it was like a movie. You know, and the guy says to me, hey, you know something, you ought to bookmaker $300. When are you going to pay?
I said, you need to clear up your throat. Jesus, you got a bad cold.
Oh,
you know?
Boy.
And they would laugh. The Jew's a funny guy. You know that? The Jew's a funny guy.
And they would give you another week to come up with the 300 smackaroos.
Well, yeah, no, I'd have to work it off for 6 years.
Oh,
300.
My God. My God.
They only let me pay a dollar at a time, so I would stay in the club. You know, this is funny. I'm going to write that down. Will you please write this down?
That's a good line. You should use that.
That's a great line.
All right, it's a great line. You're right. We're talking
Colorado, I love you, Colorado.
We are talking with the wonderful, lovable Shecky Green about all sorts of things here in the neighborhood. Shecky, let me ask, and I'm sorry to be personal about this, but since you are no longer a drinker, does that mean you're in AA, or how did you get off this stuff?
No, I was in AAA. I drank when I drank.
All right, wait a minute. Is that story then true? That I think Buggy Hackett used to tell about the car crash?
What car crash?
I don't want to tell the whole thing, but it's something about you went into the fountain of one of the...
That was my story. Buddy Hackett didn't write that story.
Well, I thought he told it about you, saying it was your story, but he used to tell it. But you tell it then.
I went in the... This is the honest God truth. And this today you couldn't do that because it's too crowded, Vegas, but I actually went 100 miles an hour and I hit off of an island. Then I went into the fountains on Caesar's Palace and the cop came in. I said, no spray wax. And they booked me on two things, one being a smart ass, the other being a drunk. But they say Jews don't drink, and I made up for 1,500 of them.
Well, let me ask you, what was it, finding that third woman, or what got you off this horse?
No. I, you know what, I was going to definitely die the way I was going. And one doctor put me on a pill called Nardil, and Nardil was a terrible, terrible, terrible pill. And if you drink, you die. Mm. And as a matter of fact, they put Red Skelton on it, and he tried it one time, he almost died. And when I went on that pill, which is 36 years ago, I stopped drinking.
Oh, my God. Are you still taking that pill? So now if you have a drink?
No. My head used to blow up with that pill. I used to hear explosions in my head.
My God.
You know.
I used to also, but that was when I was living in Jerusalem. No, but all right, but what about, do you go to Gamblers Anonymous too, or you still gamble?
No, you want to know something? I didn't work in show business for a long time because I went to Gamblers Anonymous for three times a week, Weight Watchers for twice a week, and AA for twice a week. And I was too busy going to meetings to take a job.
Exactly. I can imagine this. So now you're basically keep yourself on the straight and narrow, but you still play the ponies. This is kind of where you're at?
I play the horses. Wait a minute. Right about now, they're calling me. Listen to this.
Give out.
That's when they call me.
Okay.
When they're calling me, I bet on 3 and 6. And I'm in a terrible financial fix. Can you help me, dear Rabbi Saul? Okay.
I'm not sure I can... I can't help anyone. That's one of the tragedies of my calling as a rabbi. But let me ask about specifically comedy, since this is obviously your field and what you do so extraordinarily well. When did you realize you were funny? As you said, it was in high school already you were cracking people up. What was your style? How did you develop a style that you could get up
even,
into it?
I don't even know if I had a style. Well, one of the things that I do, you can tell I do voices. So I really, with the hang-up that I had and the depression, I became other people. I was like Walter Mitty. You understand? I wanted to be somebody else. So that's how I happened to get in with to do the impressions and do the dialects and stuff like that. But I never, even when I was making $100,000 a week, I never, ever really thought that I was funny. I knew other guys and stuff, and I didn't know what was funny, but I did what was Shecky Green, you know. But I didn't, when I'd walk off the stage with these terrible depression, I'd have a standing ovation, 1,000 people, and I'd walk off and start to cry. So that's not a way to live, so.
And did you cry while you were in the midst of a depression, but did you think you weren't even funny, or did you focus on one joke that didn't land? And you forgot all the other jokes that killed.
No,
but it was
I'm
that one.
What? I was very fortunate in being able to put my own stuff together. I'm not a writer per se, is to sit down and write, but I create my own things and then I may put them down. But I thought I was a little funny until I met Vicki Lawrence. And she told me that I wasn't.
Vicki
Lawrence said to me, "Do you really make the kind of money that people say you do? Why?" Well, Mr. Shalaham, la gutta facete cazze. Remandure, batfana, vlamada dovazung da curve. Anyway,
I feel like Pat Cooper's in the studio again, huh?
Oh, Jesus.
He was here a couple of weeks ago.
You must have gone through some wonderful things with Pat Cooper.
Oh, my God. Well, if you are at least a pretty happy man at this point. Pat Cooper is not Pat Cooper is an angry person. He's a wonderful fella. He's a great person to interview. But if you get him talking about his family, forget it. Gewalt.
Well, he's got a son. I'm going to tell you. I got a marriage. Who happens to look, I mean, there's a picture of him. And the kid worked for Geraldo Rivera. And the kid happens to be one of the great, great boys of the world. Listen to what I tell you. He won't accept it. He wouldn't pay the money for this kid. I mean, Pat Cooper, let me, you know, so you can say this and you can call him, because I'll tell him right to his face. Pat Cooper is not a nice man. Pat Cooper's so goddamn angry, he hates himself. He gets up in the morning and he punches the mirror because he sees him.
My goodness.
And Rodney Dangerfield says, "Hey, I want to tell you, the man is crazy. The man doesn't know what he's doing, you know what I mean? He's screaming, yelling."
Let me ask you, since you bring that up, what are the comedians...
Hey, how about the... Oh, sorry. Is that a good impression or not?
No. I'm sorry, I should applaud.
Every time that I do something, you got to stop saying, "Good."
Oh, you know what I forgot to do? Oh, my God, I forgot to do... I have a website here with a rim shot. I can do this.
I don't like rim shots.
Okay, well...
My brother was a drummer, and that's all I heard. We had the drums in the living room, and I grew up listening to them.
Oh, okay, so I'm glad I forgot to use it.
Be eating a Friday night dinner with chicken and bonzi ball soup, and he's playing the drums.
Yeah, no, that's awful. That's bad. So, but...
I learned that song from Sammy Davis.
Oh, my God. Well, he's half Jewish. He was, you know, or, no, he was all Jewish.
Now, you know something? I was with him, and I was very close with Sammy. He made himself a Jew, and then when he died, what's his name, Jackson, the guy from the rabbi.
Rabbi Jackson?
Jackson.
Jesse Jackson?
Jesse Jackson. Made him get buried in a Baptist cemetery, so he was not a Jew.
Oh, how did that happen? What are you talking? What?
Jesse Jackson talked him into before he died that they should. He was really not a Jew. He had him admit that.
Well, why did he? Why? I mean, did he want him to be buried near Martin Luther King or something?
That's exactly.
Oh,
almost well, exactly.
Huh? Strange. Oh well, now I can't visit him on Long Island. Oh well. Otherwise, I would have come see him. I would have seen all my uncles, and I would have seen Sammy Davis Jr.
Matter of fact, this is the thing he gave me before he died. He gave me that before he died.
Well, that's very nice, whatever that is, I think.
Then what is it? That you blow that on a holiday.
I see. I tried blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, but he just drove away. No, but you know, I'm sorry.
Boom, 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 boom. My rabbi is a funny guy. It's very plain to see. He's interviewing and he's trying to be funnier than me.
No,
but
no.
Don't you worry, rabbi, I will remember all my life. Pretty soon the double opening will come my wife.
What? I'm not trying to be. There's no way I could possibly be funnier than Shecky Green. But
don't say that. It doesn't take much. Just call me and I'll write you some stuff.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Let me ask about other comedians. Who, getting in your career, did you admire long ago, and whom do you admire now, if anybody?
You want to know something? Every show has 300 comedians. That's comedy is king. Which Pat, what's his name? That was the president of NBC.
Pat Weaver. God. Pat Weaver.
Pat Weaver, years ago when he signed me and Jonathan Winter, some people like us, he wanted comedy for NBC. He had this dream of this thing, you know. He signed us and we did the Colgate Comedy Hour and stuff like that. But now, I mean, there's so much comedy. It's there's so much that you can't even enjoy it anymore. And they're all good. I'm going to tell you what. I like all these kids. And I just don't like Vicki Lawrence, but I like all these kids.
Yes.
And
but you, I saw on the internet somewhere, because when I wasn't surfing pornography, I was looking you. Good boy.
That's Vicki Lawrence Horn. What?
You mentioned something about shock. You said that you don't think shock is funny. Funny is funny, but shock is not funny. And I'm wondering, in a world where TV is full of
shock. Let me tell you something. Sure. Shock at the right time is funny.
Ah.
Shock. But not complete shock, not every other word. I mean, I went to see this kid, the kid that's got his own television show, The Scotchman.
Who?
Look at this. You know something, 85. I'm lucky that I'm holding the phone. I should have two people, the nurse and the doctor, holding the phone. But the kid that's on television.
Russell Brand, maybe? Russell Brand? Is that
the Scotch kid after David goes off.
Oh! You mean the talk show host?
McPherson, what's his name?
Yes, the late night. Yes, he was on the Drew Carey show. I know who you're talking.
He was the boss on the Drew Carey show.
Right. Okay.
I think he's brilliant, but I went to see him here in Vegas. And he's managed by a friend of mine. I went to see him in Palm Springs. And I don't know why every word was that F, every word. I mean, it was just, you know, I used to get embarrassed when I heard that word in New Orleans when I lived for 7 years. You know, guys would say, hey, I want to tell you, you are, and they would use that word, you know, you used to jump all the time. But every word out of his mouth was that word. And he's so bright, he does different things. I didn't know it. Then I went to see somebody else, and it was the same thing. And the kind of audiences they had, it wasn't for that. It wasn't all young kids. You know, it was the people from Palm Springs that...
That's right. You have to know your audience. It's one thing if you're playing to drunken 18-year-olds.
I don't think they cared about knowing their audience. Mm-hmm. They were getting paid a lot of money, and just go out and do it, you know?
But I do agree that every other word is just... I hate that shit. Thank you. much. I'm sorry.
Shit ain't bad. Can I tell you, I do it every morning. I take a bag out with my little dog, and we say poop. You know, but poop to me is not the same as shit. I mean, I go looking for poop. I bypass the shit with the bag and go looking for poop.
There you go. Let me ask
If it wasn't for my dog, I'd never get out of the house. I get out of the house 3 times a day with my little dog.
Oh, that's so. What kind of doggy?
I got a Havanese. A Havanese is a dog from Havana that came over by inner tube.
Oh, I should have had the rim shot to that one. I'm sorry.
You deserve a rim shot on that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Tell the joke again, please.
It's a Havanese. It's a dog that came from Havana. They came over by inner tube.
Thank you. God almighty. I thought you were going to say it's Havanese and have something else. What? Oh, sorry about that. Now...
Did you get that one?
I'm sorry, I missed that second part. What was that?
I said, I think you're symbol-minded.
Oh, God. No, I'm not going to dignify that with a rip shot.
No, take one back.
I can't reverse it. I can't do a reverse rim shot.
Is anybody going to send me a card from your radio broadcast?
A card? What, do you want a birthday?
I want people to write to me.
How can people write to you?
Well, you tell them. You got the thing, haven't you?
Am I allowed to give that information to the
listener? Sure, you know why? Because I want to go out. I want to see that mailbox full. And I want people to say to me, we didn't like you. You're too Jewish. You didn't this. We didn't like your English accent. You know.
You want hate mail. Because I'm the one who gets all the hate mail.
No. Just call Vicki Lawrence. Just one letter from her will be enough.
Hey, Gewalt, Gewalt. Hey, can I ask you how you deal with hecklers?
I love hecklers. I always said to a heckler, when a maker day will go to a heckler, I say, hey, leave him alone. Go get your own drunk.
Boom, boom.
You know?
Yeah.
But I loved hecklers.
Huh. Because they give you stuff to feed off?
Well, but I make friends out of them, you know? I talk about this. How could I say something bad about a drunk when I was a drunk and I am a drunk?
That's a very...
Could I stand on the stage and say, listen, don't kick him out because he and I came in together?
That's actually very profound, that thought. It wasn't funny. It was actually profound. I'm having a verklempt moment for a moment. Briefly.
Are you verklempt?
Just you know, marginally. But a little bit, which is nice. Can I ask...
I love that kid.
Now, you must be asked this all the time, but listening to you and seeing you on YouTube and all that, I have to wonder, you're nowhere near retiring or taking it easier or anything like that, but do you foresee a time when... You're going to just play golf and that's it, and gamble and that's it?
Well, I can't play golf because my hips and my knees are really bad. I mean, thanks to the wonderful doctors I went to. I mean, I went to Mayo Clinic. They told me I had cancer. They operated. I didn't have cancer. I had lymphoma. So now I yell, just hold the Mayo.
Oh! You know? No, wait. I'm sorry. Hold on. One sec. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Put that one with symbol-minded. Anyway... I didn't have too much luck with doctors. I gave up everything. I went to a Christian Scientist reading room, and my surgeon was sitting there. That deserves two symbols.
Oh, all right. Oh, two. That's kind of tough with a mouse. All right, hold on. Here's one. And this one for the scientist.
Wait, here's my dog. Let's see if we can get her to talk. Wait. Do you want a treat? Do you want to say something? What do you want? What do you want? Want a treat? Say what? What? You don't want? No? Nothing? So? She won't talk.
This is your daughter or your grand?
That's my dog. My dog.
A dog. Your dog. Sophie. Oh, right. The Havanese.
I wrote for my dog. I wrote some of the wonderful, wonderful barks. She does the one outside. that's to scare small dogs away. That's the small one she does.
Do you have... Let me ask Shecky Green.
You know how wound up I am right now? You got me so wound up waiting for this call. If I tell you, I didn't sleep last night. I said, I got to call the rabbi. Don't sleep. Don't pass it.
I'm up 4 times a night to pee, but I usually get a good night's sleep. I'm sorry this made you so keyed up, but it's made you very funny and wonderful on the air, I have to say this. You know?
Listen, if you get the pens, you don't have to get out of the bed 4 times a night.
This is true. Well, with me, I pee so much, it overflows. It's not something we really want to, you know.
Does a rabbi, I'm going to ask it, does a rabbi pee like everybody? Does he go to a urinal and look to the guy next to him? Does a rabbi do that?
I look from right to left. That's how I do it. When everybody else looks...
You're from Detroit, and the guy says, how did you know? He says, because you got circumcised by Rabbi Siegel, and he cuts on a bias. And you're peeing on my foot. Remember that joke?
Of course I remember this joke. I live this joke, let me tell you. What are your goals and your dreams?
I love you, Colorado. What?
Last question for the wonderful, the hilarious Shecky Green. What are your goals for the years ahead, apart from performing? Are there places you want to travel? Are there things you've never tried that you want to try, the bucket list, as it were? What do you want to do?
No. My wife and my daughter are going to Italy because my daughter just found out something. My daughter's adopted, and she found a real family and found out they're all Italian. So she wants to go to Italy, my daughter.
Well,
you know?
Are you sure?
And wife and I are both good. My wife and she are going to Italy. Because my wife is Italian and she's from Sicily, so they're going there. But you know what I want?
What?
And I mean, this sounds like the corniest thing in the whole world. I want this world, before I go out of it, to straighten out a little bit. I want to go out. I don't want to see people with tsunamis. I don't want the people in Alabama and Carolina to suffer like that. I mean, we people here are so fortunate in Colorado and California, places we don't have that with the tornadoes. And I beg on my hands and my knees, if there is a God, and I say if there because who knows? I mean, would God be doing all of these things?
It's a question that I ask. But yes, if there is a God, what?
If there is a God, stop, please stop this. Don't make a North Korea, a South Korea. Make it one Korea. Don't make the thing with worrying about atomic bombs. I mean, though it saved our lives. I was in the Navy. We were waiting to go into Japan. We were about a week away when they threw the bomb, and we didn't have to go into Japan. You know, so there was a blessing with some and a curse with others. But I just, before I die in this world, I want to see the young people happy and get away from a lot of these machines and talk to each other. I want to see the world get rid of all the drugs to get a bonfire like we never had before. That's what I want in my life, and that's what it's going to make me cry, because this is what I want and beg of the world. So it's not where I work, it's not how much money, it's not that I met Bernie Madoff, it's I want this for the world.
Shecky,
so,
yes.
What more can I say?
You have put it so beautifully. The problem is, I don't want you to die. I want you to keep living to 120, 150, 270, which unfortunately, if you do, that means the world's going to still be messed up all that time. So I'm torn.
Don't worry about it. I'm going to live that long because my bookmaker will not let me die.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have had the honor and the unbelievable pleasure of speaking with the one and only Shecky Green. He's giving us these wonderful last words, these wonderful jokes. Please go to his website, SheckyGreen.com, and there's an E on the end of it. It's silent, though, which is...
It's Marie@SheckyGreen.com.
Is what? Is your email address? Marie... If you want to tell him you loved him on this program, that you wish you could go see him in Vegas and wherever he's playing, where are you playing? Are you playing... are you going to be playing Colorado?
I'll go back to South Point. There's a place called South Point. I've worked all the hotels there. Just about all the hotels. But this man that owns it, Michael Gaughan, is probably the nicest human being I've ever worked for. And it's a wonderful hotel, the South Point.
And that's in Vegas.
You don't have to go through any of that baloney with the Steve Wynn hotels, with the fancy Rembrandt pictures that he puts his arm through. And that's another story you got to call me about. Steve Wynn also gets on the Vicki Lawrence list.
Oh, I did that. Oh, boy. Okay.
A megalomaniac. Hitler was never a megalomaniac like this man.
Gewalt. Wow. All right.
Last time I talked to him, he said to me, was die Schriegen aufliegen drauf. Raus mit die Vergeligen drauf. And then he tore up my check.
Wait, he tore up the check. You weren't giving him a check. He was giving you one, I assume.
No, he was working for me. Fired me. Okay.
Okay. Anywho, wow. You know what? This is to be continued. So God willing, in a couple of months, would you come back and be with us again in the neighborhood?
Let me see if I can write anything for the next... Yes, I got another piece of paper. Yes. You call me. Sal, I love you, and thank you for calling me.
It has been a blessing to talk with you. Thank you, Shecky Green.